The readings this morning are taken from Isaiah 52, verses 1 to 3, and then 7 to 10. And the second reading is from Romans 10, verses 12 to 15, Isaiah 52, 1 to 3, and 7 to 10. Awake, awake, Zion, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor. Jerusalem, the holy city, the uncircumcised and defiled, will not enter you again. Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter Zion, now a captive. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. Verse 7 to 10. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Romans 10, 12 to 15. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all those who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How, then, can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can someone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
I'm going to invite Ben to come up. Ben, lovely to see you today. I just want to say a prayer for you. Lord, thank you for Ben. Thank you for what he does with BMS. Thank you for his connection here with Crome Road. And Lord, as he brings your message to us today, Lord, may we have ears to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. And thank you all for having me here today. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. I've got to say, it's a little bit weird for me being on this stage here today, because the last time I was on this stage, let me show you a picture, actually. That was just over 9 years ago now, and on the left is Lydia, who was Pike, now Lydia Drabble, who some of you may know. And doesn't she look beautiful, by the way? She does. And if you were to, you know, ask me to describe Lydia's beauty, I might, on that particular day, I might have commented on that stunning dress she was wearing, or on how beautiful her hair looked, or any number of other things. But one of the things that might have been a little bit lower down the list to comment on is how beautiful her feet were. I'm sure they were, and I'm sure she had a pedicure in the morning and all the rest of it, but frankly, they're hidden under the dress. And it's not always that high up the list, is it, when we're talking about how beautiful things are to describe people's feet. And yet, here in the passages we've read, both the writer in Isaiah and Paul chooses to single out the feet. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. What a curious thing to do. It's not that feet can't be beautiful, and I can't resist showing you another picture from my family now. That's Karen, my youngest daughter, a picture of her feet a couple of weeks after she was born. And we often talk about babies' feet as being quite beautiful, but feet not often something we single out. It's not that they can't be important, though. I remember a time, and some of you may do too, when the nation was a little bit obsessed with one foot in particular. It was 2002, and it was David Beckham's right foot. It was just before the World Cup, and he managed to fracture his metatarsal. In fact, the nation became so fascinated by his foot that the Sun carried this particular image in the weeks leading up to the World Cup, where, I don't know if you can read that or not, they put his foot on the front page of the paper and asked that the whole nation, at midday would lay their hands on the newspaper and pray for the healing of David Beckham's metatarsal ahead of the World Cup. So maybe feet can be important, but are they beautiful? Would we describe this as a beautiful foot? What do we think? No. Probably not, I don't think. So why then does the writer in Isaiah and Paul both choose to single out feet as being the beautiful thing? How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Well, for a little bit of context here, the writer in Isaiah was describing a time when they imagined a return from exile. The Jewish people, the Israelites, were in exile, and he was describing a time when he believed there would be a return from exile. The people of God would be able to worship God freely again, to live as the people, as the communion of God, following his laws. And you can almost imagine a situation where you're in Jerusalem and looking out onto the mountains that surround the Mount of Olives or Mount Zion, and the people returning from exile. And you can almost see by the way that they're walking and moving that this is something to celebrate, and there is a beauty about that return. Redemption is coming. Redemption is literally walking with 2 feet over the mountains. Similarly, Paul picks up on the same idea in Romans when he says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. He's talking about good news being on the move. That's why we're singling out the feet here, because in these passages and elsewhere in Christian theology, we have this idea that redemption is something that is agile, that is moving. It's not that salvation or redemption or the help, the grace of God is somehow sat on an altar and we have to travel great distances to go and find it, to go and seek it, to go and get it. But we understand as Christians that grace, the love of God, is something that comes to us. It literally came to us on 2 feet, the same 2 feet which eventually were hung up on a cross. And so that's the idea that Paul and the writer in Isaiah are trying to get at here. This is why the feet are so beautiful, because of what they represent. They represent a love of God that is moving, always on the move. Redemption is coming to us. And I'm sure those of you who have been Christians a while will testify to this, that at times when you're hurting or you're broken or you're down or you're in need of healing, it's not that you somehow have to go out and find God and find that love and find that redemption, but it comes to you. The grace of God comes and meets us right where we are. And that's something we really celebrate as Christians together. The flip side to that coin is that we ourselves, as Christians, are also called to be on the move, to be people who have beautiful feet and people who bring about that healing, that hope, that good news in the lives of others around us too. And I know that you and a church are so active in that, and it's clear today, looking at the gifts that have been brought forward, that you have beautiful feet, that you are bringing good news and hope to some of the most vulnerable people in our society. But it's not just Croydon and the surrounding community here that needs that kind of good news, that needs that redemption. It is others around the world too, which is a little bit about what we've been thinking about today. Another picture. These are a few of my friends. On the left there is Jake. In the middle is Sarah, and on the right is Alex. These are a few of my friends and colleagues, and it was them who went to Afghanistan in January and produced that video that you've just seen. the stories that they came back with were just absolutely heartbreaking. And you heard a glimpse of them on the video earlier. People in village after village, everywhere they went, hearing stories of women who had died in childbirth or families who had given birth to a string of children, only to see them not make it past their first birthday. And yet, in amongst that, there were stories of hope too. And I was most touched by the story in the video of Mohammed and Andisha, who, after 11 children who died at a very young age, then after attending a birthing course where they just learnt some of the principles of how best to look after young children, when some of the kind of myths and old wives' tales got challenged, and then to see them and that image of them at the end with their children, Roisha and Naveed, was just so heartwarming. So grace is on the move, redemption is on the move, and it's moving to places like Afghanistan. A couple of other stories. Oh, this, by the way, is a man with the most beautiful feet. You saw him in the video as well. He was speaking at the front. We blurred out his face for security reasons. But his name's Mark. He's a BMS mission worker from the UK. He's been working in Afghanistan for a number of years and heads up this kind of birthing course project, amongst a number of others. A man with beautiful feet, and good news is on the move in Afghanistan. Good news is on the move elsewhere in the world too. This person on the left, another man with beautiful feet. His name is Benjamin, and he's involved in church planting in India, in West Bengal, and the church planting model that is used is not one that relies so heavily on paid staff and buildings, but they found that by planting churches, small congregations in people's homes, that's a model that can multiply quite fast. And my goodness, have we seen it multiply as thousands upon thousands of these churches have been planted and are growing and multiplying. And by training people in discipleship and evangelism right from the outset, we're seeing a phenomenal rate of church growth across West Bengal and beyond as well. Another person with beautiful feet. This is Marima, a nurse at one of our hospitals in Chad. Chad, again, a desperately poor place, one of the most marginalized places on the world, a very fragile place as well. Access to healthcare, very, very poor indeed. And yet, in the middle of the desert, in a surrounding population that's almost entirely Muslim, there is a Christian hospital, and there's people here, like this nurse, who are bringing hope and healing and redemption to the community there. Again, much like the story in Afghanistan, part of that comes in the form of maternal health work, and there's a maternity ward here which sees hundreds of babies come through it, but also life-giving surgery as well. Once again, redemption is on the move. It's got two feet, and it's coming to meet people. In addition to the life-changing health work, there's also a chaplain in the hospital who goes around and prays with patients and shares the good news of Jesus. And I tell you these stories partly to encourage you, but also just to say thank you, really, because the congregation here at Crome Road, I don't know how many of you are aware of it, but gives so generously to BMS, not just in the offerings like we're about to take, but consistently year on year. And what I want to say to you today, really, is that you are the people with the beautiful feet. You are the ones who are enabling this incredible work. And as I say, I don't know how conscious of it you are, but working in the BMS office and hearing the kind of stories that a glimpse of which I just shared from you, we're so conscious about how reliant we are on good people like yourselves and your generosity. And yeah, if you hear nothing else from me today, please just hear an overwhelming thank you for your incredibly generous support. It really does change lives, and know that you have beautiful feet as a result. Speaking of feet, I thought we could play a little game. I've got a shoe here. I don't know if you can see that. And the game is this. I want you to put your hand up if you can tell me something about the owner of the shoe. So I want to know if they're a boy or a girl. I want to know how old they are, and I want to know what they use this shoe for. So, okay, guess over here. Have we got a mic, actually? Fab. Don't need to... Bingo. Right. Tell me about the owner of this shoe.
I think it's a girl.
Okay.
I think they're about 3 years old.
Oh, okay.
And they use it to go to school.
All right, a three-year-old girl using it to go to school. Any other ideas? Any more hands? Is that a hand over there? Okay.
I think it's a girl who's 5 years old, maybe, and might use it for, like, just anywhere.
Fantastic. That's a brilliant guess. We're getting very, very close. I'll take one more and see if we can... We've got it's a girl, that's right, and we've got it's a school shoe, and that's right, and we just need to nail down the age. So I've had three and five. One more. Okay, we'll come here.
Six.
Six, not quite. Okay, we're going to have to keep going.
Four.
Four, that's right. Okay, between you all, you got there in the end. If I'm not mistaken, Mary, I think you might have bought this shoe. Is that right? Okay. So this shoe does belong to a four-year-old girl, and she wears it to school. It's my daughter's shoe, actually. And how do we know that it belongs to a four-year-old? Well, because it's... Yeah, the size. Yeah, it's quite small, isn't it? But, you know, if you were to go to China about 150 years ago and with a shoe this size and say, who might this belong to? You may not get the answer that it was a child. You may actually find a 14-year-old who wears a shoe this size, or a 24-year-old, or a 44-year-old, or a 64-year-old. Because, I'll show a couple more slides here. In China about 150 years ago, it actually, the practice went on for about 1,000 years, but probably reached its peak and was hitting most women in the population. There was a practice called foot binding, because they had this idea that beautiful feet, as we've been talking about, beautiful feet were small feet. And so, yep, it's a small foot. And what they used to do was, when girls were very young, they used to bind their feet up so that when they developed, the arch of the foot would just go higher and higher and higher and get exacerbated, so that girls and women would grow up with feet that could fit into a shoe this size or sometimes even smaller. It was a terrible practice that led to all kinds of problems and disabilities and unnecessary pain among such a substantial proportion of the population. The practice eventually got challenged, and that's where BMS, and indeed you, come into the story a little bit, because a BMS missionary called Timothy Richard was one of the significant voices in the practice to get this abolished, and he was an influential member of society who'd gained a good reputation because of his work in famine relief in the late 1800s, and also did a lot of kind of pamphleting and worked closely with the Anti-Footbinding Society, produced all sorts of literature which shifted public opinion on this issue and get it changed. I tell that story, one, because it's got a nice link with beautiful feet, and two, because I thought I'd have a quick look through the history books of our accounts. We've got all our accounts going way back in the office, and I found this in there. This is our accounting books from 1897, and I, by my calculations, this church would have only been a few years old at that time. And I found this, that a contribution from Crime Road of £9, 4 shillings and 2 pence, which would have gone towards a number of things, but not least the work in China, where we were doing, amongst other things, challenging practices such as foot binding. And so I highlighted that just because I thought it was kind of fun, but also, once again, just to say thank you for your partnership over some 120 years. Throughout the life of this church, you have understood what it means to have beautiful feet and to take that message and story of hope and change and redemption into the world. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. My hope, my prayer for you today is that you would know just how anointed and beautiful your feet really are. that God has given you the most beautiful feet to carry into his world this good news. And that may be by being kind and being helpful, or it may be in the circumstances that you encounter this week, bringing something of the light of Christ into those. So may you walk out of the doors today knowing that you walk on beautiful feet. And may you know too that those beautiful feet of yours are having an impact just beyond the community here, that they're having an impact in places as far-flung as Chad or China or India and even into the mountains of Afghanistan. I'll leave you with this image. This is Taban and her daughter Chira. She attended the birthing course that you helped to support in Afghanistan. And as a result, when she was in labor, she didn't have her friends and family pressed down on her stomach. She didn't give birth out in the cow shed. She didn't rub dirt into the umbilical cord. And she didn't wait 3 days before feeding her daughter Chira. She didn't do those things because you enabled, through your generosity as a church, for her to gain access to just some basic education, which enabled this beautiful, smiling, and happy daughter. So thank you, and God bless you. And yeah, I'll leave you with that image of good news.